Welcome to KNEO Radio Podcast. KNEO Radio AM and FM Radio Podcast covering the heart of Texas and the Northwest Hill Country, including McCullough, Mason, Menard, Concho, San Saba, and portions of Brown and Llano counties. KNEO Radio is your podcast to hear interviews with special guests, local news, events, agriculture, and community affairs. For more KNEO Podcast, visit KNEOradio.com. KNEO Radio Podcast, making a difference.
1490 AM. Good to have you with us this morning. And with us this morning is McCullough County Judge Frank Trill. Good morning, Judge. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. This is, a sort of March weather that we're experiencing. It's not hot, but it's not cold. But you want it to be hot because I'm ready for it. But I don't know. I've always had a March has never been my favorite month because you just sort of, it gets you ready for spring and then sort of slaps you back into reality and I don't know.
The wind.
And we're looking for it this week. When I was just reading the forecast a minute ago, the thing that struck me was the wind. Going to be forecast to be breezy starting tomorrow and through Wednesday. You get a north wind by Friday. And so, yeah, we're not out of it yet.
No. We just hope it brings a little bit of moisture.
Yeah. Where is that stuff? You know, these people in California just getting it like crazy.
They can't catch a break.
They need to share. Well, aside from all of that, McCullough County Commissioner's Court met yesterday and had what I would call an interesting session. Spent a lot of time talking about citizens' concerns. I think interesting, you had a citizen who came to the court, said, I've got a problem, and I gather this was not the first time she'd talked to members of the commissioner's court about her problem.
I think you're correct on that.
I think this is something she and her neighbors had brought up, but she did a really, I thought, a good job of outlining the concern, the problems that she had, and being, understanding what's going on with the county commissioners and sort of offering a little guidance on what she thought you might ought to do.
Yes,
but,
sir.
But this was, and her name was Kelsey White, by the way, and she was there and talking to the commissioners about County Road 472. It strikes me this may be a unique situation where you have a county road and the dividing line between two precincts runs down the middle of it.
Correct.
And which means who takes care of the road?
It's kind of like beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
That is true.
A lot of it. In the past, I think the commissioners kind of had some agreements between each of them if you had a situation such as this. And I don't know how far back it goes with this road list. And apparently there's a list for each of the precincts, and it has the inventory of roads, and that's what's been traditionally kept by that commissioner in that precinct. Commissioner Bratton is, of course, new on board and looking at things with a new set of eyes, and he pointed out that line is on top of the road as far as the dividing line goes. So, you could look at it where all the residents that live on, say, the left side of the road, well, they're going to be voting in Precinct 3, and those that live on the right side of the road would be voting in Precinct 4. So if you have a problem, the question comes, which commissioner do you come to with that problem? So if Precinct 4 has been maintaining it, but your vote lies in Precinct 3, that makes it a little bit of a tricky situation, and I don't think we can fix it.
Yeah, that may be true, but all you can do is basically, or it seems to me as an observer is, and I think the folks there in the meeting were in agreement, you got to settle on somebody's responsible.
Yes.
Both can't be, because you can't go out there and grade half the doggone road.
No, that
it didn't work. And this is the problems that they're having with the road. It's not just grading. They have a serious problem, apparently, with some what they would call giant potholes.
Yes, it's towards that road dead ends at two properties, and there's more or less a lake that builds up right in front of those two entrances.
Okay.
And I went out there and looked. One of the gentlemen that lives out there came to me several months ago with his complaints, and it was Commissioner Kemp at that time that was taking care of the road. And, of course, Mr. Kemp was going out of office, and I'm sure he had a lot on his plate trying to tidy up before he went out, and that was one of the issues that didn't get taken care of. And then if you travel back towards the Brownwood Highway from that first lake, then you go down a hill, and there's a low spot, and water's retained in that low spot as well. So I think you could probably attack it two or three different ways, and I don't know which way is best, but all the commissioners seem to want to cooperate and help Commissioner Bratton to get this issue taken care of.
So that's basically what's going to happen next is they're going to, all the commissioners apparently agreed, as best I could tell.
Yes.
To help get that problem, some semblance of trying to help fix it.
Yes.
Near term, but they still have the long term issue.
Right. And we're in the middle of the budget, so I'm sure each of the commissioners are looking at what they have to finish out the year with financially. And so if this area takes a lot of material, then that'll be a concern, the cost of that. In the past, I think some of the landowners on particular roads have donated some of the material if they had material of a quality that would be suitable for that. I think that was brought up as well during the meeting.
Right.
But it's just, I appreciate Ms. White coming to court, and she did. She spoke very well and kept everything fluid. Yes, it took a while to get all the information out there, but it was very well received, I think.
And so the next steps are they're going to get together, talk about fixing the problem, and then look again at who's responsible for it when budget time comes in the summertime.
Yes, and another one of the issues, the trees were there. They need to be trimmed. They've overgrown in some of the spots, and it's a little bit of a, if you're not familiar with that area, it's a little bit of a rough area, and so that
sounds that way.
That road is, I think it's a little bit more narrow than most, and so the trees, once they do get overgrown, it's going to be a little harder to get all the trees trimmed back too.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, the other items on the agenda for the commissioners yesterday were related to subdivision. You got two different things going related to subdivision. Let me back up. The commissioners have been working on new subdivision regulations.
Yes.
Where do we stand on all that?
Right. It's just been a slow process.
Yeah.
We've had a few workshops, and after the workshops, we try to fine-tune the regulations, and it's part of it's been myself just finding time to get it done. So I think literally I'm going to have to lock my door and not answer the phone just to get it done. It's what it's turning into. So, but everyone's busy, and we've all got different things with different timelines, and sometimes this gets put back because you have to do something else.
Well, the two things that were on the agenda yesterday, both related to a large subdivision issues, people, groups looking to put in place what you would call a large subdivision.
Correct.
And large lots for, you know, it wasn't just one or two houses on a block. It's large areas.
Yes.
It's something. So where do, I guess, where does that stand? You're talking about them and trying to get them worked out.
The one we're in the process of litigation with them, so there's not a whole lot I can add until that process is complete. But one was that the litigation against Silver Creek Ventures and Ranch Enterprises is what I'm particularly talking about. After we went into the executive session and came out, the agenda item was whether to approve a compromise settlement agreement and a mutual release between McCullough County and them. Commissioner Anderson made the motion not to approve the settlement agreement. Commissioner Dean seconded. Her motion passed with the addition of Commissioner Bratton's vote. Commissioner Behrens and I voted against her motion. But therefore, that agreement won't go through, and so here we'll probably be going back and forth with the attorneys to see what step is next.
You're still looking for an agreement, basically, is it? Negotiating.
It's hard to see. I'll just in the negotiation portion of it, but
okay.
Then kind of a similar situation with the other subdivision. They were requesting some variances. Last week, they had come to a special commissioner's court meeting and had presented their proposed subdivision preliminary for review. Mm-hmm. And the commissioners accepted that for review. And at that time, they had also requested these variances. And the commissioners chose to table those items for variances. And so we had those yesterday back on the agenda. And it's kind of like you spoke about, you're trying to protect the things that are important to all of us, trying to have establish a balance for protecting and preserving what resources we have, public health in regards to the subdivision regulations, but the private property interest. I mean, if somebody buys a particular property and they want to do a subdivision, they have rights as well. And so there's a balance we're trying to find to get everyone where they need to be at. But back to the variances, and it kind of revolves around the litigation as well. We're trying to treat both subdivisions equally. Mm-hmm. So we chose to not take action on those two variance requests. And hopefully if all goes kind of as planned and the litigation is completed, then I think both of those entities will have been treated fairly. And that's the outcome that I think we want to come to.
Very good. One other thing on the agenda yesterday was a workshop on indigent health care.
Yes.
Did you do that one?
We did. We had a workshop on that and basically trying to streamline when we have an inmate. There's a designation whether they're a county resident or a non-county resident. And if they're a county resident and they're indigent, well, the health care falls back on the hospital district. And so that's where those medical bills basically would be paid from. And if they're not a county resident, then the McCullough County Sheriff, that's the way it's written up in the code, the sheriff is responsible for those medical bills. And then in the past, I think it's kind of been a toss-up of how we seek to get reimbursement from the county that inmate is actually a resident of. And it's just I don't think there's ever been a real process in place. And as we've had employees come and go, I think some of them were probably a little more adept to doing that. And we just want to get a better process in place where we can try to get those medical bills reimbursed if another county actually is responsible for it.
Okay.
Easy, right?
Easy things. Yeah. Easy. You got all the easy jobs. Easy things to solve. Rest of the county, how are things faring with the county these days?
I think going well. We've got the budget process that'll start next month that everybody's looking forward to. So
you spend all your time, half your time out of every year, working on the budget.
Yes. It's for a small county.
Yeah.
It sure takes a long time. But again, you've only got so much money to deal with, and figuring out the priorities is the big hurdle. But
yeah, that's true. And then how do you try to deal with those priorities with the funds you got?
And we don't want to talk about unfunded mandates.
No, we don't.
I mean, that's a whole nother animal.
The legislature's in session down there. Is there anything you're following in the legislature that is of concern or that you hope happens, hope to see them do?
They're just barely beginning to bring those issues out. I was at a training last week in Lubbock, and there was a few that were just on the tip of the iceberg, and then they're supposed to compile a list and see which all's kind of what your county population size is, what you should be looking at, and so forth.
Okay.
But nothing on the radar that I've got to drive to Austin and and speak about yet.
Go down there and plead our case.
Yes.
Usually, and then, like you said, unfunded mandates, probably the top of the list in many of those.
Yes.
Things the state says you must do, but doesn't provide any money for the you must do's.
Yes. And one of the things is going to revolve around disasters, such as we go back to the ice storm that we had. There's legislation out there that's proposed that we would need to check on those folks with critical care needs, such as if they were on dialysis or oxygen. And nothing, again, has been fine-tuned. It's just you're going to have to find a way to go out.
First thing you got to know is who needs that.
Yes.
Who it is.
Yes. And just with some of the people that I've talked to in the past few years, and it was really good. We made several calls related to the COVID testing clinic, so I did get some knowledge of folks with different needs and started to compile a short list of those folks. I think there's, seems like J.P. Sawyer was active with a group that was keeping up with another list of individuals that needed care. So I think we'll get there. It's just, again, figuring out who's going to be that person, how it's going to happen. But we all don't want somebody with a critical care need to go without during a disaster.
No, you want it to happen, and that's when it really becomes critical. You know, I was been involved one time in a blizzard when I was living in Ohio. That's, that sort of brings it home to you when you can't get out. You can't, people can't get to you.
Correct.
And, fortunately, we survived just fine, made out, and didn't have particular problems and inconvenience more than anything else. But there were people who were, basically snowbound, no heat. Those are serious things. And if they're sick, that's when it really gets serious.
Right. And the state is trying to look out for everybody, but it's the trickle-down theory where their ideas, if they come to fruition, then we're on the end of the train, basically, to get it done. And then we go back. You look at the County Road 472 issue, and if there was an emergency out there, and Ms. White brought that up, that it may be very difficult if it was during a rainy time of the year to get an ambulance back in there. So, and I think we're all, emergency-wise, everybody's on board to not have issues such as that. So,
yeah, I think you're right. Very good. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Nice. McCulloch County Judge Frank Trill with us this morning here on the morning program. We'll be back with more here on KNEL in just a minute.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.